I'm pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay. So this week, Gavin went on to our normal streaming show on Magic and talked about some possible changes for Commander. One of the things he talked about was possibly changing how the how hybrid mana works in Commander. And he mentioned that we had the Commander Committee at Wizards a month or two ago. And while we were there, I was the one who gave the speech about why we'd like to change how hybrid mana works in Commander. So what I wanted to do today was walk through the talk that I gave the Commander Committee talking about why I think it's important and why I recommended we make the change. Because I want all of you to sort of hear and listen to the reasoning that was so important to me. So that is today's topic. Why I believe hybrid mana should work differently than it currently does in Commander. Okay, so to start with, I began by telling the story of hybrid's creation. I am the creator of hybrid mana. So the story goes back to 2002, I believe. I think I said January of 2004. I was tasked. I just become head designer in the middle of Champions of Kamigawa block. So this was the first block that I was head designer. And we had tagged this block as being our return to multicolor. The very first block, the multicolor block, was Invasion. And that was the start of the third age of design, where we started theming our blocks. And so we did a block that was a multicolor block, and then we did a graveyard block, and then we did a typo block, and then we did an artifact block, and now we were back to multicolor. We returned to multicolor first. It's both the first theme we did and the first theme we returned to, because we knew how popular multicolor was. Players really enjoy multicolor. The challenge was, it was like 4 years later, I really didn't want to just redo Invasion. I wanted to make a set that was uniquely its own. So the way I did that is I said, okay, what was Invasion doing? Well, Invasion was about playing lots and lots of colors. I introduced the domain mechanic, although it wasn't named at the time, and just did a lot of things to try to say, hey, play as many colors as you can. So I was like, okay, I want to do the opposite of that. Okay, so we're going to be play as few colors as you can. But we were a multicolor set, so that meant play two colors. So I said, okay, you know, Invasion was play lots of colors. This is play multicolor, but the most restrictive way to play multicolor, two color. And I made the decision that I wanted to have all 10 two-color pairs affected equally. I pitched that idea to Brady Dobermuth, who was the head of the creative team at the time, and he came back with the idea of the guilds. Boom, we started doing, we made Ravnica as you know it. But for this story, a different element of the story was, one of the things that I was trying to do in trying to rediscover multicolor was really do a deep dive and understand how multicolor ticked. One of the things I like to do when we're doing something, especially when we're redoing something, is really spend some energy of understanding what isn't. So I did a really deep dive on what multicolor was. And what I realized is, like, the most of Magic is about playing within the context of the game of Magic. But the one thing that really goes into deck building is the mana value of spells, the mana cost of spells. That one of the things about the whole color pie is the idea that there is restriction to what you can play. You normally can't play all the colors, or there's a big cost of playing all the colors. And one of the neat things about pushing two color is two color is something it's quite viable. It's very easy to play a two color deck. I mean, we need to give you mana support, but I mean, a two-color deck is something that you can play. The two colors is something, I mean, in fact, the default play in Magic, you know, is playing two-color. Some people are monocolor, some play more than two-color, but two-color is kind of the staple way that most people play. And the mana cost really does a lot to direct you, you know, what it does. So one of the things I noticed when I studied multicolor cards, I think the card that I looked at two specific cards. And I use these in the talk just because I remember when I was looking, there's certain cards that really keyed me in. So the first card is Fires of Yavimaya. So Fires of Yavimaya is one red and green. It grants all your creatures haste, And you can sack it to give a target creature +2/+2 till end of turn. And at the time, remember, haste wasn't really a green thing at the time. So granting all your creatures haste, that was a very red thing to do. I mean, even now, green is secondary in haste, so it doesn't tend to... the secondary color doesn't usually grant the ability. But anyway, so all your creatures gain haste. Very red ability. Sacking this thing to do +2/+2 to a creature, especially at the time, giant growth, was a very green ability. So the idea of Fires of Maya, the cool thing is, I have to cast red and green. I need both those in the spell because the spell has a red component to it and it has a green component to it. And the idea is, Legends obviously had introduced multicolor, that what multicolor gave us was we can design cards we couldn't design before. Because this couldn't be a mono red card, this couldn't be a mono green card, at least in the day. Green has, we have, the color pie has, shifted a little bit. But the point was, at the time we made it, it had to have red and green in the mana cost because red alone couldn't cast a spell and green alone couldn't cast a spell. That it was truly an and. That's what multicolor was, traditional multicolor. It was and. This is not just a red spell or a green spell. It is a red and green spell. But then there's another card I looked at, Heroes Reunion. Heroes Reunion costs green and white. It's an instant and it says target creature gains 7 life. Now the interesting thing there is both green and white could do that. What you were getting was not that green or white couldn't do it. You were getting that both of them could do it. So you were getting a discount. That green could do it, but not for this cost. And white could do it, but not for this cost. But the point was, it wasn't a traditional and card like we think of most multicolors. It was something a little bit different. It was playing in the overlap space between the two colors. And that's when I had my big brain moment. Lightning bolt in the brain moment, where I'm like, oh, this is a multicolor card that isn't really about and, it is about or. And what I meant by that was, in order to play Fires of Yavimaya, the reason you need red and you need green is because there's elements of the card that are red. You have to have access to red to play it. And there are parts of the card that are green, so you need to have green to play it. But Heroes Reunion, it is, what it's allowing you to do is something that both colors can do. That you, and what I realize is, there was the ability, like multicolor could be broader than we had been. That we had, multicolor got introduced in Legends as an additive thing. Okay, well, now we can make cards that are both colors. But what I realized in the moment was, there were cards that let you play either color. That it was not an and situation, but an or situation. And I realized that there was something completely new we could do. What if we had cards that I said to you, you could play this in a deck with green mana or in a deck with white mana? And the idea was that it allowed... Now, it just introduced a bunch of things. I was very excited when I made it. And it did a lot of little things, too. Like, for example, you can't make a one-drop. It's hard to make a multicolor one-drop, at least with traditional cards, because you need 2 mana, right? How do you make a one-drop if you have to have 2 different mana? But hybrid would let you do that. Like, hybrid just... It let you do some things that we didn't do before. And it was a different space. It's a narrower space because the overlap gap between colors is smaller than the potential of additive things. But we made it. And so it was something that it ended up being like a very valuable tool. The story I tell at the time when I made it was I was so proud. I was really excited because I really thought it had a lot of utility. And then when I showed it around, everybody was like, I was correct. One of the reasons I have my job is I'm very good at seeing potential. A lot of what the head designer's job is to find things that don't exist and bring them into existence. And hybrid mana, probably of all the things I've designed since being at Wizards, it's one of the things I'm proudest of. Like, there's a thing they call the paperclip effect, where you find something that's so obvious that everyone's like, well, how else could you do this? But you still have to find it. Like, the idea is when you see a paperclip, how else could a paperclip work? But you had to see the paperclip. So anyway, we have used hybrid currently in over 30 sets. And just sort of talking about the future, when I was discussing with them, hybrid mana, we've realized, is very, very valuable, especially in limited. And that one of the things that we need is we want to give you a lot of choices. And that hybrid is really good at giving you choices. Now, I do want to stress that when we think about hybrid mana. How do I say this? We'll get to that in a second. So, I'm trying to go in order of my talk. I talked about how it was so important and we had such use to us, that we even had a big discussion in the Council of Colors about how can we expand what hybrid can do. Not mechanically. We didn't want colors to not do things they can't do mechanically. But there's one of the things, I did a whole podcast on this, talking about aesthetic color pie. And what that means is there's things that colors, it's not that they can't do them mechanically, is we want to differentiate between them aesthetically. And so one of the things that we've been a little bit looser on for hybrid mana, because we've been doing more hybrid design, is allowing sort of the aesthetic bleed, not mechanical bleed. And my sort of a sample there might be, hypothetically, can blue have reach, right? Well, blue is number one in flying, and flying creatures can block flying creatures. So we don't normally give blue reach from a flavor perspective, right? Because blue doesn't need it. From a mechanical perspective. But aesthetically, it's like, well, blue is more the color of flying and reach is more green because green's the anti-flying color. So it doesn't fly, but has answers to flyers. We're definitely spending a lot of time on our side wanting to expand the use of hybrid because hybrid is a very important tool. The point I said here is that hybrid mana is interesting in that in Commander, it is the only thing that sort of contradicts the design intent of how we make cards. And to explain something real quickly here, if you have a card that has an off-color activation, let's say I have a blue card with an off-color black activation. Yeah, in limited, or, you know, where you're forced and you need restrictions and you can throw this in your blue deck that doesn't have black in it. But from a constructive standpoint, we treat a blue card with a black activation as a blue-black card. The intent is in constructed. You will not play that card unless you are playing blue and black. But the idea behind hybrid is that that is available to both color decks. That if we make a blue-black hybrid card, we do not think of that as a blue and black card. We think of that as a blue or black card. That a blue deck should have access to it and a black deck should have access to it. And the idea is, if we want to make a card that blue and black have to have access to, we have the means to do that. And the way we do that is we put a blue symbol and a black symbol in the mana cost. Now, it is gated. Or sometimes maybe we put it in an activation cost or a trigger cost. Like, the idea is, if we want you to have to use blue and black to optimize the card, we have a means to do that. We put a blue symbol and a black symbol on the card. If we want you to be able to play it in blue or in black, that's when we use hybrid. That's what hybrid is for. And then hybrid, the only really big thing that we do that's more deck construction oriented, with a few small exceptions, is the mana cost. And that is why when we add hybrid, I mean, not that hybrid doesn't get used outside of the mana cost, but the very first place we use it was the mana cost, because we want that deck building flexibility. That's why it was designed that way. So anyway, I then talked through the three big reasons why I would recommend we change the hybrid mana rules. Now, once again, the caveat I should give here, I'm the head designer of Magic. I'm talking about what I think is important for Magic. Obviously, I have a very big design aesthetic in mind. I care a lot about how the game is portrayed and played, and, you know, that is really important. And I do understand that there's something really neat to the idea that different formats get to change utility of cards to a certain extent. But just as if someone made a format that said all instants are only played on your turn, I'm like, okay, well, you are fundamentally changing the design intent of that. So if somebody did that, that's the same kind of note I'm giving. So let me jump into the reason. So number one, it makes design work differently than intended. This is the big one. The fact that we make cards and they're specifically designed to do something. So let me walk through some of the examples. Okay, so sometimes we have design space and we are very limited in design space. Companion was my example here. When we made companions, there weren't a lot that we can make. We realized that we can make about 10. So what we said is, we're going to make use of hybrid mana. And we obviously, because we had 10, we put it into the 10 two-color pairs. And the idea is, okay, by putting into hybrid pairs, we allow each color access to four of them, right? Each color, now four of the 10 can be played by that color. And that way we can maximize every color having access to them. But because of how color identity works, because of how hybrid works in Commander, it ended up having the opposite effect in Commander. Rather than opening up and making more people have more access, more decks of access, it limited the decks of access. Now, if you're playing a monocolor deck, you can't play a companion at all. I mean, they were designed so every monocolor deck could play four of them. Now you can play zero of them. And even if you're playing a two-color deck, you have access to only one companion, not all different companions. Next. Sometimes, I used Wave of Aggressions for this one. Wave of Aggressions is a red and white card that lets you attack for a second time. Normally, that's a primary red ability. And the problem we run into is that some abilities we just don't do very often. Attack twice a turn, maybe once a year we do it. So because we do it so often, we only tend to do it in the primary color just because, well, if we only do it once a year, we'll do it in the primary color. But at the time, we felt that white was the secondary color. I will say there's some debate right now whether it's supposed to be white or blue. The cards of color is actually debating what's the secondary color. But the idea was we had this opportunity to say, oh, well, because we're using hybrid, we could give the secondary color some access in a place that it could not. And the idea was, oh, okay, this is really cool. Here's the opportunity for us to give white access to the thing. It's secondary in the ability. Because of the infrequency of the ability, it's very hard to let the secondary color do it, but we'll do it. And by using hybrid, it allowed us to get a second color onto the card and allow access to it. But the problem was in Commander, well, the only people that can play it already can play red. Well, if you can play red, you have access to this ability. So the idea that we're trying to let the secondary color have access, using hybrid as a tool to let you do that, doesn't work in Commander because you only have access if you already have access to the color that primarily can do it. Next, and this is more of a universes beyond thing. Obviously people care about characters in normal in universe magic, but when we're doing universes beyond, one of the things is we get a lot of data from the property, you know, our licensor about what characters are popular, and a lot of times we use hybrid mana because we want those characters to have access to more decks. Ooh, players are really going to like this. If we make this a hybrid card, you know, let's say we make it hybrid green-white, now all green decks and all white decks can play it. Meaning we put it in hybrid to expand the use of the character because we want people to have more access to the character. But in Commander, it restricts access. You know, we do it specifically so more people can play it, and now less people can play it. Another example I gave, and this one involves something that isn't out yet, at least my example did, so I can't give you the exact example, but I can give the context of the example. I was talking about how we were making a Universes Beyond set, and we had a character that there was a color that was a color that made the most sense for that character. But for constructed, you know, for reasons of how we were building things, we needed to have access to a second color. And if we only had one color, well, okay, in order to play the way we needed to play, we'll put it in this color. But that first color really was what people think of them as being the color. And I'm like, oh, well, hybrid's a nice solution to this. Let's say, for example, I need the character to work in a black-red deck. I need it to work in a red deck, but I want the character has a lot of black elements to it. So what I can do is if we make it a black-red hybrid card, it has the feeling of being black, meaning, A, people want to play that in a black deck can, and it has the flavor of a character having black to it, but we can mechanically make it so the red deck can play it without needing access to the black. But once again, if we make that card to do that, again, the commander rules cut off the access, meaning we're purposely designing it so the red deck has access to it with flavors of black, but without requirement of black. But with the commander rules, you get the requirement of black. Also, a lot of times, because of the nature of limited, and the reason we've been going up in hybrid, I use the Vulture from Spider-Man as an example. You know, Vulture was in blue and black because for limited purposes, we needed him to shift. Like, we needed him to have flexibility. But the nice things in most formats, okay, he can go into blue deck, he can go into black deck. Like, the flexibility is not a negative. Us putting there for limited to make him have the flexibility he needs for limited, it doesn't get punished in constructed because you still have the flexibility. But in commander, all of a sudden now, if you like the vulture, if that's a really favorite character, you're now obligated to play blue and black in order to play that character. So, like, once again, we are trying to give you more flexibility and you get less flexibility. The last example I gave is another thing that happens sometimes. We get pinched on creature types. My example here was villains in Spider-Man. So, for example, the Ultimate Green Goblin is a black and red card. And the reason is that we needed some flexibility for him in what he was doing. He did good things in limited, for example, in red. But we wanted to make sure that if you wanted to make a villains deck, we wanted to maximize the number of villains. And because in the villain deck, at least in Spider-Man, you want to be blue and black, we wanted to make sure that he went in the blue and black villain deck. So we wanted to make sure that we could fit the functionality we needed. You know, and that's one of the ways in Typal, just increase the amount of Typal in different colors. Like, that's sort of the ongoing theme through all these examples, is that hybrid was invented as a way to give flexibility to us, the designers, to allow us to give more people access. And that is a lot of what hybrid is trying to do. A lot of hybrid's functionality is giving people more access. But the rules give people less access. It does literally the exact opposite. The reason a lot of our designs use hybrid is because it gives flexibility, and the hybrid rule takes away the flexibility. And that's one of the big problems. Like I said, if you were in a format where all your, you know, you could only play spells in your turn, well, we make instants specifically so they work not on your turn. Not that you can't, I mean, and once again, you can cast instants on your turn. It is not as if the cards are uncastable, but they are not meeting the design intent. And that's the point, that when we, the designers, make something, we make conscious choices to allow people access. And when we use hybrid, we use it very much to do something. And the fact that it doesn't work causes a lot of problems. And that was one of the ongoing themes, is we use hybrid, we use it a lot. Our usage is trending upward. It's a very valuable tool for us. It does a lot of things. But one of the things it does for us is provide flexibility. And part of that is giving more players more access to things that we want to give them access to. But in Commander, it is restricting access, not adding access. So once it's flying in the face. Okay, number two. I firmly believe that it fights player intuition. The story I gave is, I was in one of the, I think in Chicago, I was playing in an unknown event, one of Gavin's unknown events, and it basically was like limited commander. Here's a whole bunch of cards, make a 60 card commander deck, you have to have a commander, and you have to follow commander definite rules. And I realized after the event was all done, like I think I was back at work, that I had put hybrid cards in my deck that didn't work, that were illegal. And so when I got back, I owned up to it, and like, everyone felt like, oh yeah, I did that too. Like, what we realized was, so there's this idea of inclusive versus exclusive. How do you think of decks? And a lot of players, I would argue the majority of players, think of decks as being inclusive. Meaning, if I have a green-white commander, what that means is I can play green cards and I can play white cards. I can play cards of the color of my commander. And the reason that I think the majority of players think that way is because that's how normal Magic works. Outside Commander, that's how every other format works. It's inclusive. That when I sort of think of what colors my deck is, I can play any things that those colors can cast. That's what I can do. Now, some people, and I know Sheldon Menery, definitely had this mindset of it being exclusive. The point of color identity is not that you can play those colors, is that you can't play the other colors. That if you are green-white, it's not that you can play green-white, is that you can play black, blue, and red. And I think a lot of people that I know argue against it, that's the way they think of it. They think exclusively. But one of the big things that we do in design is we want to create systems where people can follow the system. No matter what format you play in, I want the rules to work the same. No matter what format you play, I want the color pie to work the same. Like, we want our tools to be universal throughout so that people can learn the rules and then follow the rules no matter how they play Magic. And that is why I firmly believe, and I have some anecdotal evidence, I don't have hard data on this, that a lot of players who play Commander just play hybrid cards thinking they can do it and have no idea they can't do it. that the idea of thinking exclusive has to be taught to you. Because naturally, if you sort of follow the larger systems of how magic works, decks are inclusive, not exclusive. And that is an I mean, and like I said, most people that really get into it that I find that are very much against the rule are, that's how they think of the deck. They think of exclusive, not inclusive. But as somebody who wants unified systems, that wants people to play Magic all the same, that wants to learn one rule and have it apply across formats, like the rules, like the color pie, that is how deck construction works in all the rest of Magic, is that it's exclusive, not exclusive. And Commander can be inclusive. It's not that you can't think of Commander as inclusively. It just has to do philosophically how you think about things. Okay, number three. I will admit I think it would make more players happy. This one, I will say there's lots of subjectivity to that. Obviously, that's why everyone's talking about it online right now. Anecdotal evidence, I have a blog, Blogatog, which I answer questions every day. And one of the things in Blogatog is there are certain through lines, meaning there are certain requests that get asked all the time. Returning to Kamigawa was one of the things that was, I got asked constantly. And it was one of the reasons that I made it act, when I saw an opportunity to go back to Kamigawa, I pushed hard to get us back to Kamigawa. In my top 10 requests, and maybe in my top 5, is please, please, please change Commander so hybrid works. It is a very, very common request that I get. Now, let me give the caveat. I'm a big advocate for doing that. People might vocally know I'm an advocate for doing that. So, once again, there's some chance that the reason so many people tell me is they're preaching to the choir. I'm the sympathetic ear, and I'm the head designer. Maybe I can do something about it. So, but it is a really, really common request. Again, also, it's less likely for people to say, please don't do something, than please do something. But that was my note to really say to them is, I get a lot of requests on Blogatog. It is, I think, my top 5 requests of things people ask all the time. Okay, so the last thing that Gavin had asked me in the meeting was to pitch my take on what I think the rules should be. And so here is what I suggested. As I said, for purposes of the 99, that whenever you have a hybrid mana, you are allowed to treat that as you have a green-white hybrid mana. You can treat it as green, you can treat it as white, or if you want to, you can treat it as green and white. It is up to the person putting the card into the deck to decide how they want to treat it. But what it meant is, if you have a green-white card, and you're playing a green deck, you can treat it as green. You can look at that symbol and go, it's a green mana symbol, I'm treating it as green mana symbol, the rules let me put a green mana symbol into my deck. Under my recommendation, and once again, this is not necessarily how it'll work, just my recommendation in my talk, was that it doesn't change how commanders work. If you have a green-white hybrid commander, your color identity is green and white, you can play green cards and white cards. Even by the rules, by the way, from the 99, since I let you choose both as an option, you can just choose both, and it is that. But I'm saying this rule doesn't even apply to commanders. Your commanders, your color identity, if you're green and white, is fine. You're green and white in your commander. I did not get into, there's some fine questions about how Tubrid works. I did not really answer those questions in the, I gave some opinions on how they could work. From a game design standpoint, the cleanest way to understand them is to treat them as or. But they're unique in the sense that they aren't a second color. And so how you treat color versus colorlessness is a different answer. So I said, following the rules I'm talking about, those would require individual rules to figure out. So I'm not really advocating one way or the other. I think the most important stuff for me is, I just, like I said, sort of my through line for today is, my job as head designer is, I want to make Magic as fun as it can be for as many people as it can be. And part of that is, we design a game to do that. It is very hard when people use our car. I'm used to people, it's fun to make a card and people find a different way to use it. That is great. That is normal Magic. That is fun. The difference here is that the core identity behind what hybrid mana is, the reason I always talk about being or, is it is designed to increase flexibility. It is designed to allow more access. That is the reason of hybrid. It's a much more constricted design space, but the reason we make use of it is because that overlap allows us to do something important, which is when we are pinched, when space is an issue and we want to maximize the ability to allow more people access, it's the tool that we use. So the idea that this format, through this definition, restricts access, not increases access, literally flies in the face of the entire creation of hybrid mana. Hybrid mana and traditional multicolor are separated purposely. They work differently purposely. And that's my point. That if you just said, I make a format, in my format, you can only play cards on your turn, I, the designer, would go, would instants work in that format? Yes, they work. But are instants doing what instants are designed to do? No, they're not. That you are fighting against the design intent. And that's the core thing. That we, the designers, make cards to work a certain way, to have a certain functionality, so that players can have fun with them. I am fine. I'm not against the idea of deck restrictions. I like restrictions. I'm just saying, in this particular case, that I do think that giving people access, A, follows what most people think does work, and B, follows the intent that we mean when we make the cards, so that we can increase flexibility with them, so that more people have access. And it allows us to usually take things that are restricted and make them less restricted, and that the current rule only makes them more restricted, and that just really flies in the face, and does things like lets less people play companions, let less people have access to typal things for typal needs, less people have less access to secondary colors. Like, it just lets people have less access to things in a way that I think is not good. That is my argument. But anyway, I just really want to record it. This is what I talked about then. This is the speech that I gave. My speech had pretty pictures that you guys don't get to see. But this is the core. And I did answer questions. So after I talked to them, we probably talked for maybe an hour. Like, I answered a whole bunch of questions. So you guys don't get the Q&A question part. But I hope this helps. I hope this at least explains my reasoning and the point why I and R&D really, really would like to return the functionality of hybrid as originally intended to the Commander format. Okay, guys, I'm now at work, so we all know what that means. It means the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to make a magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.